Dr. R. Leo Sprinkle.
The history of the UFO controversy as described by Jacobs is filled with strange claims and eerie events. For some writers, for example, Klass, Menzel, and Taves, these claims are nonsense brought forth by misguided UFO witnesses and by misled UFO investigators. However, other writers, for example, Hynek, Lorenzen and Lorenzen, Salisbury, Vallée, and others have described the UFO experience in terms of a display, including close encounters, abductions, and contactee cases. The emerging pattern of UFO activity leads to the tentative hypothesis of conditioning. The question can be asked, does the UFO phenomenon represent a program of cosmic consciousness conditioning? If investigators are willing to consider the question of psychic as well as physical manifestations in a UFO display, then other questions raise their silly heads. Some of the questions are like these. Are UFO prophecies in the physical realm or in the psychic realm? Do UFO prophecies represent future events which will occur, or do they represent impossible events which cannot occur? Do UFO prophecies represent possible events if humans do not mind their manners? Do UFO prophecies represent a mirage of our fantasies and fears of the future, or do they represent a mirror which reflects our own postures and pronouncements of the present? The problem of UFO prophecies is difficult to explore. There is a mass of information. However, there seems to be no easy method for analyzing the information. The general literature of prophecy has several features, including these. One, prophecies often deal with claims of covenants or relationships between humans and gods or spiritual forces. Two, prophecies often deal with claims of changes which will occur or must occur if humans are to regain or gain their rightful position within the framework of the cosmos. And three, prophecies often deal with terminology and symbols which promote a variety of interpretations. Historians are quick to point out that prophecies, revelations, and doomsday predictions usually increase at the end of each century. Thus, it's appropriate that we now observe an increase of Bible-inspired predictions of the end of the world. As a bonus, we also have an increase in predictions about UFO phenomena. However, for every UFO prediction which seems to be fulfilled, there is one which is not fulfilled. Examples: Jacobs has written about the incident described by Major Friend. I love that name. Major Friend was then the director of the Project Blue Book. He describes an incident in which six witnesses watched while one CIA officer went into a trance and apparently made contact with space people. The others wanted proof. The man in trance said that if they looked out of the window, they would see a flying saucer. Three men rushed to the window and saw a UFO. At the same time, the radar center at Washington National Airport reported a blockage of radar returns, which occurred in the direction of the sighting. The CIA briefed Major Friend, who sat in on a later trance session. He asked to be kept informed of later developments, but apparently nothing happened, except for the transfer to other positions of the men involved. On the other hand, we have an incident described in the book by Festinger, Reikin, and Schachter, When Prophecy Fails. This book offers a conclusion by a group of social psychologists that when specific UFO prophecies fail, true believers do not change their beliefs. They merely redouble their efforts in the same wrong direction. Well, we ask again, shall we dismiss UFO prophecies as a mirage generated by spacey CIA officials or silly occult groups in little towns across the USA? Do UFO prophecies merely mirror the doubts and anxieties about the future, or do these prophecies represent a portion of a much larger program to condition our belief systems and thereby change our actions and our patterns of behavior? A review of the literature offers information, opinions, and speculations about the purposes and processes of prophecy, especially in regard to the questions about the evolution of humankind. Here are some examples. The Urantia book of 1955 and OSPE, 1882, are histories of the universes as well as the history of the Earth. A book by Chan Thomas called The Adam and Eve Story offers a theory of cataclysmic Earth changes. Other books dealing with catastrophic events and earthquakes include those by Goodavage, by Goodman, Valentine, Verscure, Weber, and Liss, and the anonymous geologist who analyzed Edgar Cayce's predictions about Earth changes. In general, these books are well written. In many instances, the writers compare available scientific knowledge with information which is obtained from persons who describe their clairvoyant visions or precognitive impressions. Another group of books offer various theories about the process of prediction, prophecy, and synchronicity, including social and psychic factors. For example, the books by Loy, Vaca, and Vaughan. Yet another batch of books are based upon the writer's interpretations of biblical or religious revelations. For example, the Fatima prophecy is described by Connor, by Culligan, and interpreted by Stanford. A variety of books, some of which seem to be more sensationalist than sensible, offer the writer's versions of the apocalypse or the end of the world. For example, books by Brooke, Ebon, LaHaye, Lindsay, Weldon and Levitt, Wilkerson, and the booklet Cosmic Awareness Speaks. Some writers provide their interpretations of the significance of UFO phenomena in the forthcoming, quote, New Age, end quote. For example, Beckley, Elkins, Hertak, Moyer, Peters, Puharich, Shuttlewood, Spangler, and Steiger. One writer with the marvelous name of Eden has written a book entitled Planet in Trouble, the UFO Assault on Earth. Another writer wrote a book whose title refers to economic predictions, but the title looks as if it could refer to UFO predictions. It's entitled How to Prepare for the Coming Crash. Holroyd has provided a fascinating account of meditational experiments or rituals which apparently were proposed by UFO personalities and conducted by three persons who were attempting to minimize warfare between Arab and Israeli armies. Tansley's book 77 argues that most UFO phenomena are reflective of esoteric or mystical teachings rather than physical manifestations, and he concludes the purpose of these mystical displays is to shape the consciousness of the inhabitants of Earth. Spangler described two types of archetypal symbols for new creative energies, services which are symbolized by the prophet and by the priest. The prophet refers to consciousness which is divinely inspired, pointing out the need for change, approaching danger, and acts as a catalyst in order to inspire transformation. For the prophet, reality is that which must be changed, but the priest refers to changes which have already been accomplished, so that reality is seen as the presence of the new, the redeemed, or the regenerated form of the world. For the prophet, the new age is yet to come. For the priest, the new age is already here. Spangler goes on to point out that our links with, quote, space brothers, unquote, are based upon consciousness. Quote, ultimately, it is only consciousness which separates anything in the universe, not space, not time, but consciousness. Understand this, and the key to all space contact in the new age is placed before you. Unquote. He claims that meditational practice will lead to, quote, building an ark. All who attune to and live this consciousness are absolutely protected, no matter what happens to the outer world. He goes on to say, you are being visited by other planetary beings, but they come to you now in higher energy bodies than before, and you must yourselves rise in consciousness if you wish to contact them. Unquote. Spangler concludes, quote, the space brothers will not come into relationship with you until you have evolved the capacity for cosmic brotherhood. Their interest is not simply that of helping you. They await the people of Earth to arise in consciousness so that you can begin working together to build greater patterns of life that will be interplanetary in scope, forming the bodies of truly vast cosmic beings who cannot incarnate save within energy fields provided by the united harmony, love, thought, and interaction of the races of several planetary systems, unquote. Well, these are heavy statements to lay on our poor, suffering souls. Is there any basis for accepting these statements as meaningful within our traditional knowledge? I tried to think of ways that I could conduct, quote, scientific, unquote, observations in order to test the hypotheses of UFO prophecies. I could not. So I decided upon a couple of methods of observations. After contemplation, I decided to participate in two rituals or two observations. In the second ritual at 1:20 p.m. Monday, November 12, 1979, I consulted the I Ching workbook by Wing of 1979. I cast coins while asking the question, is the topic of UFO prophecies a significant issue in the eventual solution of the UFO mystery? I obtained the trigrams Li and Tui, resulting in the hexagram 49, changing to trigrams Chen and Chen, resulting in hexagram number 51. What does that mean? Well, hexagram 49 is entitled Changing or Revolution. Quote, the forces at work in the situation are in conflict, leaving the path open to change, unquote. Hexagram 51 is entitled Shocking. Quote, the sudden force of stored and kinetic energy in the cosmos will be released in a powerful and shocking display, unquote. I don't know what this information means to you, but I regard it as one more question mark in the many questions about UFO phenomena. My first ritual was somewhat more traditional in obtaining information. I gathered from my files a few of the materials which had been submitted by persons who claimed the experience of being abducted examined, released, and then monitored by UFO entities or UFO occupants or UFOC. Of these some 40 persons, I have conducted regular correspondence with several of them, and they send me copies of the messages or transmissions which they receive from their UFO mentors. Of course, they have no way to prove the alleged source of the information which they receive, but they are obviously sincere in their belief that they are obtaining information. Two of the men have obtained psychic impressions of, quote, future, unquote, armed conflict between Arab and Israeli armies. One had a premonition of the death of Robert Kennedy. The other man had described in an impression received in 1968 of Ted Kennedy becoming a presidential candidate and then being wounded in the shoulder during an assassination attempt. Two of the women received continuing messages of scientific and religious topics, including schemata or devices for mass psychic communications. Two other women received impressions of, quote, future, unquote, learning centers and methods of educating humankind. Two other women received impressions of possible earth changes and earthquakes. A friend of one of these women, whose pseudonym is Stormy Winterstar, has provided these UFO prophecies. One, during the 1980s, there will be a revelation for the UFO phenomenon. During this time, we will become enlightened as to who they are and where they come from. We'll have a craft on the ground. Two, government officials will try and discount this, but the cover-ups will not be successful. In explanation of this, people who have had close encounters will rally and come forth to be enlightened. Three, one of my basic predictions concerns their base, which I believe to be inside the earth and is accessible to them through water also, for example, or in other words, oceans, lakes, rivers, as well as through the earth. I believe the main place for them to enter their base from the Earth's atmosphere is around the polar ice cap. Four, it's my belief that there are many types of spacecrafts used for many reasons, and the majority of these occupants are friendly and nonviolent types. They are interested in research and study. However, I do believe and predict that we'll find those of war in outer space also. It seems to me that their base would be in the galaxy. We will find these beings more humanoid and violently aggressive. Five, there will be a ground war in the 1980s as well as a space war. The encounters of the two opposing forces will leave no mystery for us. It will be during this war that our questions will be answered for man to read. The aggressive forces of space will not emerge victorious in this war. Six, we will find that abductees and contactees are not carelessly selected, but carefully chosen people. We will find that each one fits into the framework of the space age. When the space age dawns as a new era, we will learn how important these people are to the future of this continent and to the world. From observation, only the mentally strong can survive contact with the occupants of UFOs. Seven, I predict that we will find that from time of contact, the abductees are in a sleep state of learning and programming for the space age on almost a daily or nightly basis. Contactees are vaguely aware of this training program. However, known communication produces a barrier between them and what we call normal life. Eight, we will one day be in a position to view spacecrafts that are now obsolete to space creatures. Nine, we will learn that reincarnation is an important factor between present contactees and other lives aboard spacecrafts. 10, during a time of war and other physical stress, people known to us now as abductees will disappear, leaving no trace. This is to say that I believe that they will become residents of UFO bases or compounds as a protective measure for contactees. When this becomes necessary, they will become useful in their respective fields of higher learning. I believe that all the above predictions have now started to come to pass, and by the late 1990s, we will find that we have been negligent in our pursuits and will be faced with the universal truths of realities. Sincerely, Stormy Winterstar. Another person, H.G., writes of possible future events. Quote, there has been much prattle about the rapture, each sect and denomination claiming exclusive priority in this event. None of them knows what it's all about, and the prattlers do their flocks a great disservice by misleading them into believing that their particular sect offers surefire participation in this great event. Celestial Command has exact detailed preparations for what they refer to as Operation Liftoff. This entails much more than the human mind can conceive. It allows for the coming in of celestial ships to carry the true believers to regions of safety during the time of the great cataclysms and geographic upheavals. As one source states, right intent will be the true passport. Liftoff will include those from every race. Orthodox secularism will have no bearing. There will be great turmoil among those remaining on earth, great famine, great pestilence, great fighting. This person goes on to say, in the final showdown, communist China will join hands with communist Russia to, quote, fight against the Lord, unquote. The final battle will be fought between the, quote, good guys and the bad guys, unquote. After Earth goes into new orbit, the good guys will come in and take over command of this planet. There will be an entirely new political and economic setup administered by celestial command, and interplanetary and even intergalactic communications will be reestablished. End of quotation. Another example, a 35-year-old woman who calls herself Gloria Archer experienced some strange events for 12 long years which caused her much distress. She's a bright, attractive, and perceptive person. However, she was raised in a family who valued family unity, nationalism, traditional views of common sense reality, and a fundamentalist Christian belief. She was unable to talk with her family about her UFO experiences, which included out-of-the-body experience, near-death experience, abduction, bodily and sexual examination, mental communication with UFO personalities. Results of psychological inventories indicated that her profile of scores were in the normal range of scores for USA adults. Hypnotic suggestions to recall and relive her UFO experiences were helpful to her in recognizing that she had experienced direct contact with alien beings. Gloria Archer has described the effects of her UFO experience as shown by the following excerpts. Beginning the quote, "Changes brought about in the inner me as a result of this experience. After my experience, I knew that I'd been privileged with a glimpse of something infinitely wondrous and profound. My inner consciousness had undergone a complete and staggering metamorphosis. Those truths I had been taught through the years by my church, family, parents, and teachers no longer were valid to me. These beliefs have been replaced by an understanding of the process we call creation, and I know our earth science and education are not yet beginning to suspect the universal laws that govern the creation of worlds within our universe. The following is a synopsis of the changes brought about in the inner me as a direct consequence of my experience." And I'll read briefly some of the excerpts from those statements. "One, I've embraced a faith of cosmic conditions. Two, I no longer have allegiance to any particular form of earthly government, political system, race, economic, or social structure. My only allegiance is to my Creator and to the cosmic Christ. Three, I've continued to be obsessed with an expanding desire for truth and understanding of Earth's and man's evolutionary progress. Four, I have studied the mind and altered states of consciousness. Five, I'm a firm believer in reincarnation. All of us are immortal souls, and we are responsible for what our minds manifest around us. Six, I have strived to balance myself, to evolve physically, mentally, and spiritually into a more balanced human being. Seven, I have tried to live my principles and moral laws within myself. Eight, I have vowed to serve the universal law. I try to feel and live the law of love for others. Nine, all my life is one. We are part of the stars, oceans, all creation. 10, I have no fear of death. 11, my mission is to Earth citizens and environment. Unless the consciousness of humankind is raised, we will ultimately destroy the work of eons, ourselves, and the present environment of our world. 12, man is facing a crucial period in his evolution as a species. 13, I believe in a father, mother, God, a balanced interchange between the creativity of both sexes. 14, I have the knowledge that we are unknowing participants in a living universe. There are other life forms, other worlds, other dimensions. 15, I'm experiencing loss of interest in the accumulation of material things. 16, basically, I've become a pacifist. War depletes, it does not enrich. 17, I have the knowledge that the world's fuel must be water. I feel a total disagreement with any society that pushes the use of nuclear fuel or weapons. 18, within myself, I experience the consummation of science with religion. After many years, I now realize and know that my own transformation was not and is not a single experience here upon Earth. There are literally hundreds, if not thousands, of people who are and or have experienced this metamorphosis. Our numbers are growing yearly, and we are beginning to locate and communicate with each other. An alien invasion has already occurred on Earth. The conquering power is not military or technological economic superiority. It is a revolution in consciousness and spiritual knowing that has been implanted within the minds of thousands of people all over the world. The future of this world is passing into the hands and minds of these people. Those of us who have been contacted no longer serve the old orders. We fear nothing, least of all the threat of death or physical deprivation. We are here now. We walk among you daily, we pass you on the streets, stand next to you in the elevators, and you see little of what is moving daily closer to completion. We are among you, and our force is the force of mind, governed by a morality and an ethical code that upon Earth is incomprehensible. End of quotation. I think it's interesting to note in regard to item 7, quote, I have the knowledge that the world's fuel must be water, unquote. I noticed in the Denver Post of November 13, 1979, an Associated Press news item about work being conducted in the Sandia laboratories in Albuquerque, New Mexico, regarding a particle beam fusion accelerator, which was described as the only one of its kind outside the Soviet Union, and as a type of nuclear reactor which, if successful, would be fueled by nature's most plentiful resource, water. And this young woman has no knowledge of this kind of scientific work, as far as I can determine. Well, the question arises, what do UFO prophecies tell us about the possible purposes of UFO personalities? Here is a model of these claims or speculations about UFO experiences and related conditions. UFO experiences are one segment of a plan to transform humans from planetary persons to cosmic citizens. UFO contactees have been chosen. No UFO contact is accidental. Two, contactees are ordinary people who exhibit a caring or loving concern for all humankind. Three, contactees have an experience which can be viewed as a manifestation of their ideas of reality. Four, UFO experiences include paraphysical, parabiological, parapsychological, and paraspiritual manifestations which are designed to influence the, quote, world view of contactees. Five, contactees receive information during and after their UFO experiences which is related to their life interests, for example, natural sciences, ancient civilizations, psychic phenomena, and metaphysical or spiritual knowledge, etc. Six, contactees are gently coerced into studies and activities which blend with the ultimate purpose of UFO entities. They are not forced to be obedient to UFO personalities. Seven, contactees are initiated and maintained within the general framework of contactees' views of reality. Thus, UFO contacts can be reviewed as real, face-to-face encounters with flesh and blood beings, or UFO contacts can be viewed as dreams, fantasies, and subconscious ideas which are manifested consciously. Eight, contactees are programmed for a variety of future activities, including awareness of their own contacts and a desire to share their message and knowledge with other contactees. Nine, the lives of contactees move in the direction of greater self-awareness, greater concern for the welfare of the planet Earth, and a greater sense of cosmic citizenship with other beings in the universe. And 10, the personal metamorphosis of UFO contactees is the forerunner of a social transformation in human consciousness, which now is leading to changes in the economic, educational, military, political, and religious institutions of nations of the Earth. Summary and conclusions. On the basis of the various claims and the materials submitted by UFO contactees, we are not able to determine if UFO entities exist. You may recall that Eileen Garrett, the renowned psychic and medium, who was able to obtain psychic impressions, which later were verified, was asked if the sources of her impressions actually were discarnate spirits. And she replied, "On Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I say yes. On Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, I say no. And on Sundays, I'm not sure." Well, in the same vein, these good persons are not certain about the sources of their messages or transmission. However, on one point, they all agree. They feel as if they are receiving information from sources who seem to be highly intelligent and deeply ethical. They feel that their lives are enriched. In conclusion, I suggest that we consider the work of a social psychologist, Loy, who has written a book entitled The Knowable Future, A Psychology of Forecasting and Prophecy. He claims that his book shows, one, how the future can be read, two, that this is a natural capacity within all of us, scholar and non-scholar alike, and three, that this ability can be strengthened and made more socially useful through methods for the, quote, pooling of visions, unquote. Loy offers the book in the hope of bridging the gap between rational and intuitive predictions, quote, to make the intelligent use of mind more palatable and of unconscious mind more respectable, and to readers who need knowledge not merely of one or the other, but of both, unquote. I wonder what knowledge might arise if UFO researchers and UFO contactees would sit down together for a pooling of visions. Thank you.